Everyone wants to feel confident and 100% capable of learning novel things. And yet, we seldom allow new pathways of thinking, feeling, and being to lead our experiences. Live Into 5D weekly episodes are akin to personal agency microdosing, perking insights that lead to breakthrough action. In today's episode, NLP coach, educator, intuitive energy healer Vicki Oleski is joined by Reverend Sybil Starr, an ordained minister, certified clinical herbalist, registered hospice nurse, and astrologer. As an astrologer with years of service, experience, and study, Sybil believes the science of astrology is an energetic blueprint of the individual soul, thus providing a star map to one's highest evolution and possibly seen as a portal of awakening for humanity. Thank you for coming along with us, and thank you to our guest on today's program. Now, let us invite and enjoy our conversation with Sybil Starr. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining myself, Vicki Oleski, Live Into 5D, Waking Up Our Nature. Today's guest is VIP guest, is evolutionary astrologer, as well as spiritual guide, Sybil Starr from the Bay Area, North Bay Area. Sybil has been practicing teaching classes for over 20 years. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Vicki. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's just get right to it. You have information you want to share, and then I also have some questions for you. I know today's topic is, you know, kind of a broad stroke, and we're going to fill in the colors of what is astrology. And, you know, it's, I think, one of the oldest sciences. Is that correct?
That is correct. It is the oldest science. That's correct. Right. Yes. Back in ancient times, there was no difference between astrology and astronomy. You know, it was not only important to know what was happening, but what it meant, because more ancient civilizations recognized, you know, as above, so below. And we've always looked to the stars for guidance. And on one hand, you know, let's just say mariners, you know, would follow certain constellations. They knew where, you know, where things should be. It kept them on course. It was a map. Well, you know, on a psycho-spiritual evolutionary level, it's the same thing internally. It is a map that guides us. The key is understanding the map, and to understand that the map is not just written on a piece of paper. You know, it's energy. It's a blueprint. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
When you're talking about this right now, I just got a picture of a practical map, a practical guide book as the blueprint. And so my understanding with what you just said is that it's practical. The study and the science of astrology is practical, but it's the interpretation of what the guide says.
That's correct. Right. It is our energetic blueprint, and it's sacred geometry. And it's understanding that behind every form, there is a blueprint, an energetic blueprint that brings this form to life. And it's and as far as our own psyche and our own consciousness, is when we understand that blueprint, we understand ourselves, we understand our life, and it also helps us understand other people have a different blueprint. They're not going to be just like us. You know,
so there's not one standard size fits all.
There is not one size fits all. Everyone has a different blueprint. And as we embody the blueprint through our understanding of it is what leads us to self-realization.
Now, this all makes sense to you because this is, you know, your gift and your expertise. And this is something that, you know, has always been very, you know, enticing for me as a child, mm-hmm. especially during the high holidays of Christmas and Easter. I was very in touch with the cosmology of the stars. But what... Now as I've, you know, progressed into it and know that that it is quite the science of an embodied practice of the individual, how would one begin to unravel their blueprint to kind of let it be the map that it is?
Well, okay, I would say, you know, and most people that come into astrology come in for self-understanding. And so I would say the way most people start would be to have their chart read. And and to understand too that I am really of the belief that the chart is also, you know, it's a window, it's a cosmic window into our consciousness and into our soul. And it's like what comes in that day is what we're supposed to know and understand that day. The chart is, you know, your whole blueprint cannot be determined by just one, you know, 90 minute reading, but for some people it could, you know, I guess, you know, but most people get a chart read and then they start to either start reading about it or, and for some people who are very kinesthetic and go outside, let's say, and watch the moon, you know, and understand, you know, let's just say following the moon is something that can help one understand their own emotional cycles, the phases of the moon, understanding, you know, when the moon is new, when it's dark, when the moon is full, how you feel. So there's, you know, there, but I would say most people really start getting their chart done, then kind of spreading out and however it is, they can learn more about themselves through that medium. Some people follow horoscopes. You know, there's a whole lot of information out there in the field as well. Let's just say around, for example, pretty much most people know their sun sign. Okay. And then there's other things people become aware of just kind of through osmosis. One is like Mercury retrograde, you know?
Right.
So it's kind of like a matter of opening to the wisdom that astrology provides in whatever way it really speaks to you. But so I guess that's maybe an answer to that question in a way.
What comes to mind is my first astrology reading. You know, it was like I had just turned 30, you know, like that big major first ending of the Saturn return and the beginning of the second one. So it was like right around there. And I remember coming out and getting into the car, and my partner at the time was sitting there, and they said, you know, how did it go? And I said, well, the good news is that I am who I am. And they went, oh, and I said, and the bad news? And she's like, yeah. And I go, I am who I am.
Right. Yeah. Well,
there was something so validating, the good and the not so good. Mm-hmm. It was like all one. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to feel like I was splintered or separated. I felt like I was, someone had, you know, read the chart. And for the listeners, you know, who have had their chart done, you know the feeling. And as a reader, you know when the person you're reading is getting it.
Right. Yeah. You know it's a good reading when you feel validated.
Yeah.
And the other key is that I'm going to say most people actually end up coming to get a reading during a time of when their life is, they're at a WTF moment in their life. And Saturn return is usually one of them. Because it's like, you know, the Saturn, as I said, it's a map, and it's kind of like as you're going along and, you know, on the map, following this map of your life, there are points where you're at a crossroads and you know it. You just, you know, and the chart can give incredible guidance to understand what's going on. And maybe if you made these choices, this is how your life would unfold. If you made these choices, this is how your life could unfold. You know, it talks about the energy, but the first Saturn return and the second Saturn return are two huge rites of passage. And that's when Saturn returns to its natal placement. But I think even if you get your chart read at a different time, if you go back and you look at that age 29 to 30, you're going to find that your life, almost everyone's life takes a major turn then.
Well, you probably have had this experience being an evolutionary astrologer and also as a spiritual guide, you know, and I know as a coach and consultant, you're listening, you're taking in information from your client, your student, and you get that they get something is going on.
Right.
And they're either listening and taking action, or they're listening and not paying attention.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And often when, there are these major planetary events that, like I said, they're when someone's at a crossroads, it's like when they do, when they are able to listen, and often it's, you know, it's the challenge, you know, we all have challenges in life. And when we are able to meet the challenge with the energy that is called for by our energetic blueprint, then it's a map that continues to guide us to our highest good and happiness. Whereas if we choose not to, because we always have free will choice, always. And the truth of it is, most people learn to do something well by making mistakes. You know, so when we can look back and see, well, you know, had I have made this choice, you know, basically what I'm trying to say is sometimes the obstacles are thrown in our path by the choices we make. We learn to make a better choice the next time a similar situation comes around.
I think that this little chunk right here, thank you so much for bringing this up, is really the essence of living in a human form in the density of Earth, but also knowing that our free will, making choices and having the energetic support, sovereign choices that move us ahead. And I'm not saying like ahead of somebody else, or not in an egoic way, but on a more evolved way, of really knowing like this is dense. The free will piece can be supported by knowing some of the aspects that are in play.
How I usually present it as the teaching that's involved, you know, not a lesson, because a lesson often implies that you've done something wrong, but it's a teaching. It's kind of like coming to different points where we have a teaching. And sometimes I like to say, it's also like the experience is, you know, you have an experience and then as it unfolds, you learn what the teaching is. And sometimes you can learn what it is right up front and make the right choices, the choices that are more in alignment with your highest good. And okay. That's the goal. That is the goal.
So it's almost
like, you're going to get the teaching either way, you know?
Right. So it's almost like the other really nuance that I hear you talking about is the almost the energetic exchange, the magneticness of knowing, and that comes with, you know, some teachings over and over again, that there's a symbiotic energy exchange from the person who's in the situation and the teaching that is attempting to awaken them.
Right.
And
many of the teachings I feel are so much about releasing fear, you know, making choices from a place of self-empowerment, the truth of who you are versus, let's say, what's expected of you, or you're making choices based in security, you know, wherever the place is that you're making choices from the chart, your energetic blueprint is wanting you to be in a place where you are in alignment with the truth of who you are and the choice that is actually in your highest good.
So beautiful. More of this information, this type of learning is so invaluable for people. It's almost like the empowering piece, not necessarily the choice that's in front of them. That's gonna, you know, that's gonna gift them something. But the consciousness in learning about themselves, I think, is super impactful. I love that type of education right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's right. Like, you know, I'd say like what I'm talking about is learning about your own psychology.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like often my job as an astrologer is to help people understand, you know, what the energy is for them right now, but then is to be like, to inspire them, you know, to be all they can be, because this is what we came here for, is to really, I feel like, is to really embody our higher selves, you know, into the spiritualizing of matter. You know, embody our higher self. And as we do, we touch everyone around us and we raise the vibration and frequency of everyone and everything. When we are true to ourselves and when we are able to make choices from a place of self-empowerment, you know, and that comes from a self-understanding.
Let me ask you a little, you know, deeper and in a little deeper and in background into this thing that you're talking about right now.
Okay.
What's your recommendation when people come to you for a reading, astrology reading, and you really get that they're overwhelmed by the amount of things that they are being responsible for? You know, and they have like five different things going on that is really asking them for their full conscious attention. What's your recommendation?
What I'm going to say is when people come to me, pretty quickly, I get to what's the most significant to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And often also to the chart will also point out maybe where the focus needs to be. Like you've got five things going on, but let's just say, for example, the moon is really impacted. Okay. And this is saying, you know, maybe there's a, some real more attention may need to be paid to, if you're a parent, to being the parent, that the child needs something, that there's some way, you know, that this, or let's say if Venus is involved, you know, relationship issues are up. You need to have that conversation. You need to clear the air. It's like, you know, is your partner supporting you in your, career goals? You know, sometimes they're not, you know, and, you know, it's like, it's just saying some work may need to be done here to clear the air, to get clarity on what's really going on here and what do you need, and to be able to speak up for yourself. Often it's about setting boundaries. That's another thing that comes up, is that especially women are often doing too much for other people, and they're feeling empty themselves.
So my understanding and listening is that when you're reading someone's chart that's coming to you that is in overwhelm, high stress, fill in the blank, we all feel it differently. Mm-hmm. What I'm really hearing is that you're able to look at someone's chart and to, by looking at their chart, help them establish some sort of balance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Balance. And with the balance and with the understanding of what is happening, come to some sort of solution.
Okay.
See, what is my next step?
I don't mean to put you on the hot spot, but I have this question that just kind of popped in, and I was like, you know, let's ask Sybil. You're on the, if you were to just look at the situation that's going on globally, mm-hmm. given that we are 2.5 years on the other side of, let's hope, of the pandemic, and, you know, for my life, you know, personal and also professionally, things are feeling like they're opening up. What type of teaching, overall arching teaching, would you say is happening for us all?
But I think the overarching teaching is that the old is collapsing, and we're building the new in the shell of the old, and to let the old stuff go. And part of letting the old stuff go is seeing through the illusion of what is not true, because we want to align with what is true. And of course, that's something myself that I'm constantly looking at, you know, what is truth versus my truth? What is, you know, because there's so many perceptions and ways of looking at it. So, you know, for me, truth is what, you know, it's integrity. It's what's aligned in your heart, you mm-hmm. know? But as we move forward, the other really big piece is change. It's like the, you know, as, we are getting energetic upgrades. I feel like we are getting spiritual upgrades, physical upgrades. We are in the process of, I would say, one of the main things. And of course, I always come back to the personal, because we have the collective energy, but each one of us are part of that collective energy. And it's about doing our own personal work, clearing out our own energy field of all the old stuff. You know, we're moving into higher frequencies. The old stuff doesn't fit. The old patterns, the old emotions, the old grudges, the old stories, you know, whether the story comes from the paradigm, the patriarchal paradigm, whether it comes from our family, or whether it comes from something that we tell ourselves that just really isn't true. You know, it's really, it's aligning with truth, letting go of the old paradigm that no longer serves us. And, especially in the emotional field, and opening up to the new perspective and ways of viewing the world, because there is a new consciousness coming in, and we have to catch it.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh my goodness. Like, that was packed full of so much right there. You know, the thing that I want to like focus on is the emotional part.
Mm-hmm.
And also the physical. A physical level, if people see something, they really see it to be truth. But that's not necessarily true. But on a deeper level, I think the emotional component is so tricky for people that we're just starting to learn about what emotions are, what teachings they are in and of itself, you know, and how fluid and how emotions are energy in motion. It's such a huge moment to let go of old programs through the emotional body.
And we are in the midst of eclipses right now. And we've just had the solar eclipse, but we're going to be moving into a lunar eclipse. I know this isn't going to be aired until later, but these eclipses impact us for like 6 months. And the lunar eclipse that is happening on May 16th or May 15th is very much about releasing this. It's like a, it's like a portal in a way. It's like a portal with the ability to release. Okay. It's like a purification coming up, and it's just, and it's like, we're being shook. Everything is getting shook loose. And I think the key to understanding emotions, one is that, you know, an emotion actually lasts about 90 seconds. They say anything that comes after that is the story around it. You know, and, you know, one of the stories we're releasing here on a paradigm level on the, let's just say the patriarchal paradigm level is the concept of original sin, which is kind of like part of the fear matrix that overlays this whole planet. And it is that place where we feel like there's something wrong with us. We are innately flawed. And that is a construct that has been laid over this reality. And when we can break free from that is when we release. That's one of the pieces of releasing ourselves from the, what I'm just going to call the fear matrix. And the other piece is those lower frequency vibrations that come from that emotion, such as shame, blame, guilt, you know, all of that. When we are able to release ourselves from these lower frequency emotions is another way of liberating ourselves from this 3D paradigm and into the higher frequencies of love and the heart.
So I want to just slow things down a little bit and make what you just said, she said, whatever she said.
Okay.
A teaching here.
Okay.
And what I'd like to just remind the listeners is that I want you just to stay with all of our podcasts because they're going to be evergreen. The theme I hear you talking about using astrology, eclipses are exactly that. They eclipse. So it's like you see my face. You don't see my face and you will see my face. So when something is eclipsed, you are being shown something that you might not have seen before. Is that true?
That's absolutely true. Right.
Okay. So because we're having a lunar eclipse, it's about our emotions. The moon, stop me if I'm incorrect.
Right. The moon is related to, the moon is our, represents our emotional body.
Okay. So we may or may not, we're going to be given time, and this isn't going to be the only time because life happens constantly, that something we'll be able to be given support. A moment of support to let go, to release.
Absolutely. That's what it's about. It's about releasing.
Okay.
It's about releasing. It's about these, it's about, you know, old, it's about patterns and cycles coming into our conscious awareness because, you know, the moon, you know, it, that, it, the moon herself, I mean, our emotional body responds to her physically, you know, during the, our physical body, our emotional body, everything responds to the moon, the tides, because, and they say the center of the moon is water and we're like 70% water. And so we respond to her. And so an eclipse takes place at a full moon, and full moons are traditional. I was a nurse for 40 years, and anybody who works with people recognizes when things are kind of getting crazy, they'll say it must be a full moon, you know, because that's when our emotional body really wants a lot of expression. It's bigger. Full. Right. Full. It's full. Yeah. And so, you know, just like, you know, in ancient times, you know, with, this is a real physical or a practical application of the energy of the moon is, you know, in ancient times, women gathered and bled together in the red tent when the moon was new, when it was dark and it was a psychic time. And whereas when the moon is full was when women ovulated, and that's when they interacted with other people, when their emotional body was full and they're wanting to connect, and, you know, and so that's a real, you know, practical way of looking at the moon. But the moon represents our emotional body and how she changes. You know, every night she looks different. She, even if it's a tad different, you know, but if it's a full week, you can see the big difference, you know. Wow. and that's how our emotions work. And when we, astrology helps us understand our moods, our emotions, our heart, and, you know, and we can look at this in the personal chart, or we can look at this as you know, just, you know, one of the new services that I have is called Moon Day Morning Astrology. And I do it every Monday, and because Monday is the day of the moon. And I talk about the, you know, celestial events for the week, but I also track the moon and her signs, because often I will find, like, if I'm having a day where I'm a little depressed or a little off or something, and maybe something's happening, if I look to where the moon is, it's like, oh, okay. And the thing to remember, it helps me understand that, and that also this will change, you know, just because I feel like this moment. But the key is to feel it. You know, is to feel it, and then just, and kind of know that it's going to change and flow.
Here's where I want to insert the 90-second rule.
Okay.
Is exactly what you're talking about, because on, again, for the listener, this is all amazing information and very, very supportive. But like, knowing what I hear my clients, students talking about, but when? Like, when do I do this? Okay, so here's the down and the deets on this is when you're feeling it most potently and most powerfully is when you just allow it to come through you. You know, scream, holler, cry, joyfully, be joy, whatever, allow it to wash through you.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the practice.
That's the practice. That is absolutely the practice, is you get to feel it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Feel it to heal it.
And the other piece is when you allow yourself to feel it, if you don't attach in a story, you will let it go. When you attach a story, awesome. You know, that's when it hangs around.
So, you know, like what Sybil's saying, thank you so much for clarifying that. You know, like, feel it and just, you know, don't put words to it. We want to always, we have in the past over there wanted to make a story over it. Don't make a story over it.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it be what it is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That's exactly. And that's how we purify and cleanse our emotional body so that we can hold higher frequency vibrations. Number one, of course, is just simply healing to our soul. I mean, and that's what we want to do. But number two, we are in a great shift. A shift is happening. And this is how we step into this great shift. Because we're releasing not only our own emotions, but there's collective stuff we're doing.
Thank you so much, Sybil Starr.
Oh, thank you, Vicki, for having me.